Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hello and welcome to this Monday Postcast. I'm Maddie Clell, joined in the studio by Nick Watts. We have Tom Collins on the line as well as Paul Binfield from Paddy Power. Binners, we've not seen you about on the Postcast recently. What have you been up to?
I've just been allowing some of my more esteemed colleagues to have a go, Maddie. This weekend I had the pleasure of going to Cheltenham on Friday and then Doncaster on Saturday, so a bit of the best of both codes, really.
Indeed, more of that later on. We're going to do a weekend review now, starting off with the Cox Plate and Winks. Lots of people have strong opinions on this. Matt Chapman riled the Aussies up beforehand. Watsy, what did you make of the performance and how do you rank her among the all-time greats?
It's funny with Winks. I really enjoyed the performance. I thought it was great. The fact that she's a seven-year-old and she's still mad for it and she's still winning these kind of races, I think is extraordinary in the way they've kept her going over the years. You know, most mares this age would be in the breeding sheds by now having nice babies. So the fact that she's still got that competitive instinct is great. And, you know, I just think the debate about Winks sometimes is, I don't know, I just think it's completely unnecessary. She's great at what she does. She's proven herself time and time again, year after year. She comes out, like I said, she's still got her appetite for racing. She's never going to face Enable or any of these because she's not going to come up to Ascot or anywhere like that. Why should she? There's plenty of good stuff for her in her home country. If we thought she was winning substandard races, then why aren't we sending more horses down there to go and pinch the Aussie dollars? We haven't done that. I just think I get a bit annoyed sometimes about these debates about, you know, greatness and numbers and figures that she posts and horses that she beats and all that. All you can do is beat what's put in front of you. We don't know, you know, what she's got left in the locker because, you know,
her running style. There's nothing there to test her, is there, really?
Yeah, her running style does make her look possibly more hard work than it is. She always gets there, you know, when it matters most. And, you know, I don't care if she's, you know, comes in on the figures a few pounds below the likes of Cracksman and that. I just think that's irrelevant. Let's just enjoy a great horse for what she is. They come along very rarely. There was a massive buzz about the Cox Plate at the weekend, and a few guys on Twitter who I know that went over there and present on the day said it was absolutely fantastic. So why can't we just enjoy that and just, you know, the debate about numbers is just boring, it's dry, and to me it's not particularly relevant.
Yeah, I totally agree from a personal perspective. I think what she's done for the sport as a whole is amazing, how she's attracted such people to the track. And, you know, I think over here, if she would have come over for the Queen Anne, what would she have proven? You know, it was a weak race anyway, and she had lots more to gain by winning a fourth Cox Plate. Tom Collins, you're someone who's more into the sort of figure side of things. Are you one of these people who still sort of doubts her a little bit, or are you coming round to the thinking of me and Watsy where you just enjoy watching her now?
I echo both your sentiments, really. I think she's obviously a top-class horse and she's done brilliantly well to win so many races in a row. Mm. Fantastic training performance from Chris Waller as well. I don't know. I think I've never really taken to her. I don't think she's amazing. She's done really well, but she hasn't actually beaten anything. I mean, Ben Battle didn't run his race, I don't think, personally.
Why do you think he didn't run his race? Where have you got that from?
I'm not sure. I just think he's better than that. I think he'd finish a lot further ahead of Humidor and Rostropovich than he actually did. I think I'd like to see her come over, but obviously I don't think she will. I don't know. It's a good training performance. She did make them look silly, but it's just another day at the office, really, isn't it? Nothing didn't really wow me.
Okay, that's interesting. I thought she was beaten at one point because I thought, you know, the Europeans were all close up. They didn't seem to go that fast and they were in the perfect position, but she just blew them away. She just had too much class for them. 10 consecutive Group 1s, a fourth Cox Plate, 29 consecutive wins now for Winks. Binners, what was your reaction and did you shorten her up for any future targets?
No, I didn't really shorten her up, Maddie. You've come up with a few statistics. She's won 22 top-class races now. She's got that 10th consecutive Group 1 win, eclipsing Zenyatta and the great unbeaten Frankel. Mm. What a horse she is. It's been great for the sport. And we look forward to seeing her wherever she turns up next.
Exactly. I think she's a great draw for the racing public, and that's the main thing. Moving on. Sorry?
How he put her in the same category as Zenyatta and Frankel. I mean, consider those three horses, and I just think she's nowhere near as good as both of those. I don't know why. I mean, they're completely different horses. Zenyatta did her winning on the dirt, but I don't know. I just can't see her at the same level as Frankel and Zenyatta, really.
Can you sort of respect what she's achieved, though, is pretty extraordinary. Yeah, like, we've not had anything like her calibre over here, have we, who've raced for that amount of time and have had that amount of a winning streak?
No, but as people say in football, I wonder if she could do it on a cold Monday night at Stoke. Do you know what I mean? She's beating the same horses at the same tracks. And I don't know, I feel like she needs another big test to actually prove her mettle over here. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Perhaps there's not. I don't think there's been that much strength and depth to the Australian middle distance sort of division this year. So maybe, you know, if a good challenger came through. I know she's a few pounds below her best officially on Racing Post ratings. But anyway, we'll move on to Doncaster and the Vertem Futurity. Magna Grisha winning from Phoenix of Spain. Watson, you were keen on Phoenix of Spain beforehand. I thought he ran a really good race, but Aidan O'Brien, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought he was slightly unlucky. I always thought he stayed a mile really well. So when he kind of started to nose into the contest about a furlong out, I thought, you know, we're in business here. He's going to come through and win. And he was quite strong to the line. I just think the interference he suffered, it obviously wasn't enough to amend the result. But there was a very fine margin in the line. And, you know, he did, at the very least, I think, get a little nudge off Magna Grisha. It could have made the difference. The stewards decided not on the day. Charlie Hills was thinking of appealing. He's decided against it. So he's accepted the result with good grace. In terms of what the form's worth, I'm not sure it's outstanding form. Western Australia was in third, 50-1 shot. He's been beaten quite a few times. I don't think he's anywhere near the top of Ballydoyle's pecking order. A few people talking about Magna Grisha afterwards as a Guineas horse rather than a Derby one. I think O'Brien has got doubts as to whether he'll stay middle distances. And, you know, as a winner of a Futurity, then you'd have to respect him. But I'd be surprised if there wasn't better horses around at Newmarket next May. The Magna Grisha looks like it being a stellar contest with the likes of Too Darn Hot, Quarto, if he gets there as well, involved. So for me, the form wasn't brilliant. I kind of think the Hills camp would be disappointed. I think they thought that was a winnable Group 1, and I'm sure it was. And, you know, it was a good spot by them to run Phoenix of Spain. He had the form coming into the race, and I think they'll feel a little bit aggrieved that, you know, it was one that got away for them.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I didn't really warm to Phoenix of Spain when he first won the Aiken, but I think he put in a really good shift on Saturday, and he's a horse who I'm sort of coming round to liking an awful lot. Bin, is my right in thinking Magna Grisha, you cut him twice for the Guineas next year?
Well, we started off cutting him for the Derby immediately after the race, Maddie. But then, as Nick has already mentioned, Aidan was saying Donica thought he might get 10 furlongs next year and he's got the speed for the Guineas. So we then cut Magna Grisha for the 2,000 Guineas, and he's now 14-1 from 20-1 in that list, with Aidan's 10 sovereigns slightly above him at 10-1.
Tom, where do you see Magna Grisha in the O'Brien pecking list for next year's Classics?
Certainly not at the top, I don't think. I'd rather send him over longer, to be fair. I think they obviously think he has some kind of stamina, because they went off at a blistering early pace with the two stablemates, and they were obviously trying to burn out the finishing kick for some of his rivals. Thought he did it quite well in the end. O'Brien obviously got his tactics spot on, as he always does. And I hope Phoenix of Spain's a really nice horse for Charlie Hills next year as well, because he's done it well this year, and Hills could do with another big horse, with Batash kind of disappointing.
Yeah, Charlie Hill's a brilliant trainer, and he deserves another big star. Moving on to Cheltenham, we had the showcase meeting on Friday and Saturday. Just looking at the jumps division as a whole, this morning it's been announced that Sam Crowe's set to stay hurdling with the champion hurdle, his name, and then some impressive performances at the showcase meeting. But just a highlight from Cheltenham from you, Watsy.
It's nice to see Lil Rockefeller making a good start to his chasing campaign. He wasn't foot perfect, but he's very strong over the last couple. And Neil King said he's getting more lazy as he gets older. So
he's been quite lazy as well.
Yeah, so. He has. And he mentioned he might go back over hurdles actually for the long walk. I think he feels he's got a bit of unfinished business there and could take in the long walk. But if he ran in the RSA Chase, for example, next year, there'd be much more popular horses than him in the betting, I would think. You know, the likes of the sexy horses like Santini, and, you know, if Gigginstown sends something over from Ireland, probably more highly thought of, because Lil Rockefeller is kind of a semi-rags to riches story for you know, smaller trainer, yeah. Neil King. But you shouldn't underestimate him. The RSA is a brutal staying test, and you know, if he can just iron out his jumping a little bit better, and he comes there cherry ripe on the day, he's been runner-up in the Stayers Hurdle, so he has got class, and there will be nothing finishing better than him over that trip. So, yeah, he impressed me in a kind of funny way. It wasn't a perfect performance, but I just think there's a lot more from him to come.
He often sort of looks down and out and beat, and then he always defies what you think of him, doesn't he? Battles on really well, but perhaps does need to brush upon his jumping. Tom, what did you make of Lil Rockefeller and anything else that happened at Cheltenham? Any eye catchers?
Yeah, I thought Lil Rockefeller did it really well, to be honest. I thought he was down. I don't know if it was the third or the fourth fence. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. He looked like he was about to crumble on landing and go down. Obviously, that wouldn't have been the ideal in a race which surrounded him, basically. I think Lil Rockefeller was one that stood out to me. And another one, that another horse that didn't jump very well at all was Gordon Elliott's Dinons, who still somehow won by 15, despite bungling over every single flight of hurdles that came in his way, apart from the one in the straight. Also, the tape on the run-in caused havoc, didn't
it?
Yeah,
that's definitely worth a mention. What did you make of all that? It was bizarre, wasn't it?
Well, considering I backed Oscar Delta with Jane Mangan on a few years back in the box, 25-1, it kind of brought back terrible memories. I don't think I slept on Friday night in nightmares about Oscar Delta again. But yeah, good that they changed and put in the rail on the Saturday.
Yeah, what's your word on that? Because they've done it at other tracks, and I know they're saying that it might not necessarily work for some races at the festival, but it needed to happen, didn't it? A very dangerous situation there with two horses running out.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's three times it's happened now. And I think, obviously, before the Oscar Delta incident, we hadn't even thought about it, because horses just seem to run straight up the run-in. You know, there is a dead end after the line at Cheltenham. It kind of funnels them in. And, you know, I suppose it could be a bit confusing. And you know, obviously, the things that happened on Friday, I think if it happens three times, then that's, you know, getting too much then, and they need to take action. You know, Simon Clayes was saying it's not an easy situation to deal with because you're having to play staff around a live horse racing event where you might have...
Other tracks do it, don't they? There's similar sort of things in place at other tracks where they move a rail in mid-race, so...
They do, yeah. You know, it's an unfortunate situation for the horses concerned, and the connection to the horses and people who backed it is very frustrating. So, you know, they came up with a kind of fix for Saturday. And I'm sure it's something they'll be kind of, you know, they won't allow it to rest. They'll be monitoring that for the rest of the season now. And they've only got, what, 2 or 3 weeks to the November meeting there. So I'm sure Simon Clayes and his team will, you know, sort that out.
Yeah. And Binners, back to the Cheltenham action. Did you shorten any horses on the back of impressive wins? We mentioned Dinons and horses like that.
Yeah, we had a few on both the Friday and the Saturday, Maddie. We put the Mighty Don into the Potemps hurdle betting at 33-1, although I did see Nick Gifford mention that he's likely to go
staying chasing, isn't he? Yeah,
that's right. On the Friday, I was laughed at by Cheltenham Radio for putting Canarsi into the Ballymore Novices hurdle at 66-1, but Irish trainer Dermot McLaughlin said that that is the target. As it looked like being for Thomas Darby, that one got put in at 20-1 for Ollie Murphy. And Lil Rockefeller, Nick Watts was talking about the RSA. We believe he's more of a National Hunt Chase type, Maddie, and we put that one in at 20-1 co-favourite for the long distance novice race.
Excellent. And a final word I mentioned just as I was segueing into this, Sam Crowe, they're going to go hurdling. Right decision, wrong decision, Nick?
No, right decision for me. I think these horses are put over fences far too early in their careers sometimes. I'd love to see Altior run and probably win the champion hurdle before he got sent over fences. There's loads of time to go chasing. I don't see the rush. I don't see why people in such a great and have such a great desire to see him run over fences when he's got all his career to do that. The champion hurdle division, I didn't think it was a fantastic race last year. Bouverdere scraping home from Mellon. I don't think Mellon's he's a good horse. He's not a great one. And it makes perfect sense to me. I think it's quite a thin division. And yeah, he's got the fall to overcome from Punchestown. We don't know quite what will happen there. But, you know, in years gone by, the race that he won at Cheltenham Ballymore used to be a great springboard to Cheltenham, to champion hurdle success. You know, Mr. Bracken, the like, all won that race.
Harley
Eustace. Exactly. So, Yeah, right decision. Plenty of time to go chasing.
Tom Collins, a quick word on Sam Crow.
Yeah, right decision. Agree completely with Watsy and everything he said there. I think it's nice for Bouvardet to have, well, obviously not nice for Bouvardet's connections, but nice for Bouvardet to have a live challenger as well. He kind of walked the division last year, and Sam Crow's obviously a brilliant horse, and we'll put it right up to him.
Yeah, three champion hurdles if Bouvardet can win it this year. He's a very, very good horse, so it'd be interesting to see if Sam Crow can test him in any way. Binners, before we move on, what price is he now for the champion hurdle?
Well, he's 3-1 joint favourite now, Maddie, along with Bouvardet, who you just mentioned. 8-1 Melon, 10 Lorena, 12 Somerville Boy, and it's 16 Bar. But very good for the 2-mile championship hurdling division. Sam Crow's going to liven it up. Melon will be another interesting one. But I can't wait to see Sam Crow take on Bouvardet. Probably not until March, but hopefully before then.
Yeah, it'd be good to see how it bubbles over throughout the season. We'll take a quick break now, but we'll be back to look at the weekend's action just after this.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. We're now going to get talking about some of this weekend's action, including a crackerjack card from Weatherbeat with the Charlie Hall and the Bet365 Hurdle. Two really great races, Watsy, that often throw up some stars. Bristol Demai won the Charlie Hall last year. He's going to return again. Thistlecrack, my favourite horse, is obviously going to be returning as well, fingers crossed.
You're not hunter chasing now, no?
Oh, how dare you. the Bet365 Hurdle, obviously, we were speaking before about how Native River ran in it before he won his Hennessy, what is now the Ladbrokes Trophy. So plenty to get excited about.
Yeah, definitely. It's always a good race, the Charlie Hall, as long as the ground is sufficiently, got sufficient cut in it to allow them to run. You mentioned a few names there. I'm sure Bristol Demai will be back. Don't know, he seems to be best at this part of the season, doesn't he? He was brilliant in this last season and, of course, brilliant at Haydock as well. Interesting to see how he goes. The one I quite like, as long as he does turn up, is Paul Nichols' Clander's Oboe. He seems to be around for ages, but he's only 6 actually, and been noticeable that Nichols has been very he's taken his time with him. You know, I think he thinks a lot of him, but he didn't want to overrace him too much too soon. So he's really picked and choosed his kind of targets carefully. But he did go to Aintree. He missed Cheltenham last season because he wasn't quite right, but he went to Aintree in at the deep end, dipped his toe in the water against Might Bite, and
I thought he ran
a really, really good race. I'm sure Nichols would have been delighted with him and thought, right, put him away now, get him right in the summer, and we've got something to go to war with. I'm slightly conscious that, you know, like I said, he has been around a few seasons now and he probably hasn't quite delivered to his maximum of what he can do, and you wonder if, you know, could he be another Safia Darir kind of horse that promises a lot and maybe doesn't quite get there. But at this stage, I'm quite keen to give him the benefit of the doubt, especially on the back of that Might Bite run. And if Nichols has got him wound up, if there's a bit of dig in the ground, I think he'll go really, really well. So if he ran, it would be Clander's Oboe for me.
Yeah, and injecting some sort of new blood into the race, isn't it? With Bristol Demai, if the ground's not soft, maybe we won't see him to his best. He sort of tailed off towards the end of last season. Just want to highlight that Bruce and the team will be going through all these races on Friday's show. We're just going to have a broad overlook of them at the moment. Tom Collins, what do you make of the Charlie Hall at this stage?
Yeah, it looks a good race, doesn't it? And it's exciting to see Thistlecrack back after a 312-day absence. I know you absolutely love Thistlecrack. I'm a huge Thistlecrack fan as well. He's a great horse and hopefully returns to something like his best. It's also interesting to see that Don Poley's got an entry in the race. I've just seen 600-odd days off, so interesting if he runs there as well, because obviously it's a big target for his first run back after such a long layoff. Clander's Oboe will like the ground, Bristol Demai won't, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we will. Binners, no betting at this stage, but plenty to get excited about, as we've touched on.
Yeah, Nick mentioned Clander's Oboe. I think he is interesting. He's not won a Group 1, so he gets into the Charlie Hall with no penalties. Apparently his big target is the Betfair Chase, for which he's 20-1.
Excellent.
But Paul Nichols has an abundance of riches, and it doesn't matter what the ground is, because if it's better ground, he's talking about running Black Colton. This one won 8 times in his first season over fences last year, so that was pretty impressive. And he could run in the Ladbrokes Trophy after the Charlie Hall if he runs there. And he's a 20-1 shot for the Newbury Extravaganza.
There you go. So plenty of prices on Black Court. Be interesting to see if you can follow last year's exploits. And a word on the sort of staying hurdle division. What's he? No Sam Spinner. He's not going to turn up in the Bet365 hurdle. But we've got the likes of Holstone and the usual pretenders probably turning up for this one. What do you see happening in the division this year? Any sort of long range fancies for Cheltenham or anything like that?
I see it being quite similar to what it was last year, to be honest, or last season. The difficulty is in this division is that the kind of one you want to centre it around is Penhill, being the reigning champion. He's obviously a very good horse. He's got a good turn of foot from his flat days. He is unlikely to be seen again before Cheltenham. It's something Mullins did with Q-Vega very successfully, of course. Yeah. Penhill doesn't take a lot of racing. He goes very well fresh. So I imagine you're not going to see him all winter until, you know, he comes back in March. And I could see him winning another one, to be honest, with that turn of foot that he has. He obviously stays much better than I ever thought he would, bearing in mind he won for Luca Kamani on the flat over kind of middle distances. But he obviously does stay. And with that flat turn of foot, he's always going to be, you know, a potent force in this division. If Holstone runs, I haven't heard much about Holstone lately, but admirable horse though he is. He's just maybe a rung or two below the best. Little Rockefeller, actually, interestingly, Neil King at the weekend said, although he has gone chasing now, he might still go back over hurdles for the long walk at least. And he is one that, if it didn't quite work out for him over fences, he's always got that option of coming back hurdling. And that can happen with a few horses over the winter. They start off maybe going chasing, don't enjoy it, don't get on with it, and then come back hurdling. Of course, Yanworth did it last season. Yeah. He's out of the picture until at least the second half of the season. So it's very early in the year. It's a wide open division. I think Penhill's 6-7-1, the field market leader. It's just a watching brief at this stage for me.
Yeah, we mentioned earlier with Sam Crowe and a lot of trainers choosing to go chasing with their novices, the likes of Santini, Kilbrick and Storm, horses like that, that are going to go over fences, Tom. So it leaves a bit of a void in this division. Who do you think can exploit it?
God, it's far too early for this, isn't it? Still flat season in my head. Breeders' Cup first, and then we start thinking
more of that in a little bit.
Then we start thinking of the jumps. I don't know, it depends what the ground happens on, what it's like on all the big occasions. You know, if it's good, then Penhill, as what he said, can probably exploit it again and use his speed. But if it's soft, then who knows? Ugh, Sam Spinner, I don't know. It's far too early, I think.
Okay, and Binner's a word on the Bet365 hurdle from you.
Yeah, not quite sure what's going to turn up, Maddie, but one horse that is, I believe, is Old Guard of Paul Nicholls, the old favourite down at the Ditchie Nerve Centre. Paul was saying that he sharpened him up when he ran quite well at Kempton last time, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. And interestingly, he might go chasing later in the season, so that'll be a treat for us to look forward to as well.
Yeah, so Binners is hoping for the big Paul Nicholls double then at Weatherby on Saturday. Ascot also hosts a really good card, including the Sodexo Gold Cup Handicap Chase, won last year by Go Conquer. A quick word on how we approach these sort of handicaps. Again, we don't know who's running just yet, but what's he? Do you look for novices? Do you look for horses that have had a run? Do you look for stable form, jockey form? How do you approach them? What's your sort of checklist?
I think at this time of the season, stable form is probably one of my most important factors. Looking at who's started the season with a bang, who's got off to a quick, you know, got out of the blocks really quickly. And if you've got a horse in this handicap who is trained by someone who's had a few winners already, it does just give you that extra bit of confidence. For example, Emma Lavelle's she's got off to quite a good start in the season. Yeah. She had Paisley Park win yesterday at Aintree. And because she'd had a couple of winners beforehand, it does give you confidence, although it was his first run back, that he was going to show something like his best. So it just gives you that extra bit of reassurance, I think, if you're following a trainer at this early stage of the season who has hit his straps and who has had a few winners. It's definitely something to consider before we get into the teeth of the season when everyone is pretty much at the same stage.
Yeah, and also on, you know, I hate to be on a downer, but also on the other hand, you have horses like Philip Hobbs, who unfortunately last year didn't have a great year, so it sort of turns you off some of his horses in a way. Tom Collins, what do you look for when assessing a handicap like this?
I like race fitness. This early in the season, I think it's good to have a horse that's nearing his, well, not nearing his peak, but close to his peak. Some horses will be only 70% fit with the big festivals in March and Aintree, likely to be their targets. And So a horse like Traffic Fluid, who I think's actually entered for the Sodexo Gold Cup, he finished well to finish second. No, he ran well, sorry, to finish second the other day at Chepstow behind the young master,
yeah,
Gary Moore, raced in 2016 with Anthony, Race Fitness, and he's quite well handicapped over fences, so I think he could go close. And there are some other horses in there with good recent runs that also need a second look.
Okay, and Binners, finally a thought from you.
Well, I'm a great believer in the old adage, horses for courses, Maddie. So I'll be looking for something that's run well at the Queen's venue before. And I agree with Nick about trainers in form. You've already mentioned I'm hoping for a big Paul Nicholls double up at Weatherby.
What's he got in this one?
Well, that's the big question I'd like to know, Maddie. But Paul Nicholls' horses are running really well. Broden won yesterday.
Yep.
He's in very, very good form. And whatever he lines up in this big handicap chase, I'll be having a very close look at.
Yeah, fabulous performance in the old roan chase from Frodon on Saturday with Bryony Frost in the plate. It was like old service resumed. We're going to have a look at the Breeders' Cup just after this break.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. As promised, we're going to hit on the Breeders' Cup now. The Longines Breeders' Cup Turf is the main race we're going to be looking at. What's he enable going there after winning the Arc? No horse has won the Arc and the Breeders' Cup Turf in the same season. Several horses have done it, but not in the same year. What chance does she have?
I think it's a risk. It's a massive risk. They were putting all their eggs into the Arc basket, I think, and training her specifically for that would give another warm-up at Kempton. She came through the Arc with flying colours, although, you know, in different circumstances, she may well have been beaten that day by Sea of Class. There was a very small amount in it. She would have put a lot into that race. And they're trying to back up again, and not just back up in a British race. They've got the flight to America to consider and how she's going to handle that. I suppose on the one hand, it's a shot to nothing. It doesn't really alter her legacy of being a fantastic race mare. So in that sense, it probably doesn't affect that much. And so they're thinking, well, let's roll the dice and see what happens. But if she does that on a different, you know, with the travel going abroad after a hard run in the Arc, after a difficult year when she's had injuries, if she comes through all that and wins, then hats off to her. You know, she's, you know, magnificent. That's all you can say. So I really hope she does do it. But it would be a tremendous training performance for John Gosden to bring this one off.
Yeah, it's a similar story with Roaring Lion, isn't it? How he has nothing to lose. It's great to see him over there. I think that's the main thing. It really makes the races interesting. More of Roaring Lion a little bit later on. Binners, some horses from the Arc looking to reoppose the likes of Wild Geist, maybe Talismanic too. How do they bet?
Well, we go 2-1 on Enable, Maddie. Then it's 3-1 Roaring Lion, 5 Valgeist, 11-2 Magical, 12 Channel Maker, and it's 14-1 the rest.
Yeah, TC, I know you follow your American racing, but their division doesn't look that strong this year. Do you think it's definitely going to go to a European contender?
Yeah, I think Enable's the best horse in the race, and provided she travels over fine, then I think she'll win quite comfortably, to be honest. Gosden said she was only 80% fit when winning the Arc. I imagine she's a stripping fitter for that now, and she's had a pretty light campaign. So, yeah, I just don't think anything will trouble her, to be honest.
Yeah, could well play in a favour that she's had a light campaign. And I know, Tom, you were keen on one in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint as well.
Yeah, I like Disco Partner for Christophe Clement, and likely to be Irad Ortiz on board, who's absolutely fantastic and probably the best jockey in America, in my opinion. Finished third in the race last year behind a couple of Peter Miller's outsiders who are reopposing, including Stormy Liberal, who I think is second favourite. Likely to stalk the leaders, which is a massive plus round Churchill. You don't want to be on the pace on the turf track, in my opinion. Definitely don't want to be right out of the back as well, so because it's quite sharp around that final bend. I think Disco Partner's a really good thing in the turf sprint.
Excellent. Binners, quick prices on that one.
4-1 Disco Partner and Stormy Liberal, Maddie. 9-2 World of Trouble. 7 for in-form season Carl Burke, Havana Gray. 8 Bucaro. 10 Conquest Tsunami. And Lost Treasure for Aidan O'Brien.
Fabulous. Moving on to the Maker's Mark Breeders' Cup Fillion Mare Turf. Plenty of British interest in here as well, with Wild Illusion, Magical, Magic One, some of the names that could run. Sister Charlie, who ran in France until relatively recently now in the US. She's been doing well over there as well. TC, how do you see this one playing out? Wild Illusion, she's been a grand mare this year.
Well, when it comes to Breeders' Cup, I often just try and ignore all foreign challenges, to be honest. I don't really like Wild Illusion. I think being back from threes into twos already, I don't really see why she should be that short, to be honest. She's a good filly, but I think Chad Brown's got a couple of really exciting horses in there, Sister Charlie being the number one string, and I think Sister Charlie can use her absolutely incredible turn of foot.
Yeah, she's fast, isn't she?
Oh, she's so quick, and she literally picks up at a flash of the whip and she's gone, and she's down the outside, and see you later, nothing will get close to her.
Okay, I like that very much. Binners, what price Sister Charlie? It sounds like a relatively confident selection from Tom again.
Well, 3-1 for Tom Collins, so we might have to shorten that after he said that. We make Wild Illusion, who was backed as if defeat was out of the question in the Oaks, 2-1 favourite. Then it's 9-2 Magical, 11-2 Azira, 7-1 Magic Wand, 10-1 Bar.
Yeah, what's he of? Azira, Wild Illusion, Magical, Magic Wand. Who would be your number one of those lot?
I like Wild Illusion when she ran in France. I fancied her that day. And, you know, she had a bit of cut in the ground, which I think is ideal for her. If conditions are quick in America, I wouldn't put it past Magic Wand to reverse that form. I think she does want it a bit quicker. I mean, on a general level, I do tend to... I wouldn't be into the Breeders' Cup as much as Tom would. You know, I've got a Weatherby to look forward to at the weekend. My wife likes X Factor, so I might struggle to get involved too much on Saturday night. But, you know, we'd love to see some European winners. And we've obviously got a few aces to play here with Godolphin, Wild Illusion and Aidan O'Brien, Magic Wand. So, you know.
The real question is, why haven't we done an X Factor postcast with you picking the winner?
Oh, God. No, I endure it. That's not to say that I like watching it. I do it to get brownie points.
Brownie points. TC, please don't tell me you watch X Factor.
No, not for me. Just for the mum and sister.
Okay. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Mile. Polydream, Expert Eye, a few of the big names engaged here. Binners, first off, how do they bet?
Well, Polydream, 5-2. Jolly, Maddie. 6-1, Expert Eye and Gustav Klimt. 13-2, Oscar Performance. 8, Happily and I Can Fly. And it's 10-1, the rest.
Yeah, Polydream absolutely luckless in the foray last time out. Tom Collins, are you going to go for another American horse, though?
This race is kind of the one that over the 2 days I looked at and I just couldn't find the winner, to be honest. I think Polydream's got a big chance. As you say, unlucky in the foray last time out. Barb doesn't mess about either. I don't know. Oscar Performance, probably the best of the American challengers, but ran terribly on his only start at Churchill, finished 10th of 10. I don't know, pulled up 2 starts ago as well and kind of just doesn't tick the boxes for me. Maybe one of Aidan's. I don't know which one, to be honest. I'm yet to plump on a certain horse, but Gustav Klimt, potentially. I'd probably believe in the race.
Okay. What's he, any thoughts on this race, again, with some sort of European interest with Expert Eye in there? So Michael Stout's done a good job with him this season.
Yeah, he's done a very good job. That's probably worth pointing out, actually. I mean, when he got beaten by James Garfield earlier in the season at Newbury in a trial, I feared for him for the season. I thought, you know, he's just going to be a nilly horse and, you know, maybe his temperament would get the better of him. So fantastic training performance from Sir Michael. He would be interesting. But... just one more to add from my perspective, who I am looking forward to seeing at the weekend. I'm not quite sure which race she's going in yet because Aidan O'Brien's got a choice of 2 for her, but So Perfect is a 2-year-old I've been following all season long. She beat Skitter Scatter, finished 2nd to Advertise as well, who obviously has gone on to run in such a good race in the Dewhurst. And I thought there was a lot to take from her Chiefly Park run as well last time out when she was 3rd. She was kind of on the wrong side of the action, but still ran a really good race. So I'm really genuinely excited to see her going over there, and I think she could bring back a prize for Aidan and Ballydoyle.
Fantastic. And now we move on to the big race at the Breeders' Cup. It's the Classic on the Dirt. Roaring Lion, the big name, what's he, one of your favourite horses this season? They're going to roll the dice with him. Mendelssohn's going to go there as well. They've got to face Catholic Boy, Accelerate, McKinsey, potentially rivals that I'm sure Tom will have plenty to say on this one. But, you know, do you really think he can do it? You've had a lot of belief in this horse all season.
Yeah, a lot of belief in him, but he's had a lot of hard racing lately. And, you know, all the pedigree experts are saying that Kitten's Joy, you know, wouldn't be able to produce a classic winner and maybe, you know, might not be suited to the surface, which is obviously a major consideration. It's something new for him. It's something he hasn't experienced before, and he's taking on horses who have experienced and have excelled on it. So he's at a natural disadvantage. He's going to have to be very, very good to win. Obviously, Gosden's won it before with Raven's Pass, but that was a bit different because it was a different surface, so it was easier for him then. This is very, very hard, and at least Aidan's gone about it the right way with Mendelssohn, trying to give him a bit of experience. I can understand them going for it with Roaring Lion. Nothing to lose, brilliant season, but I think he's going to have his work cut out.
Yeah, Tom, it looks a cracking race, doesn't it? Who's your number one selection?
I absolutely love Roaring Lion as a horse, but he's got no chance whatsoever. Literally no chance.
Fighting talk there.
Yeah. I think I mentioned biases earlier on the turf track. I think on the dirt track, you need to have a look at the early races on Friday, potentially. Churchill Downs often really just suits those horses directly on the pace, especially those that race wide. I think sometimes the dirt right next to the rail can ride really dead, and it's pretty
hard.
Well,
he's got to deal with the kickback as well, hasn't he, Roaring Lion?
Yeah, exactly. That's another reason why he just doesn't win this race. I think shameless plug as well. I'm on Pricewise on Friday and Saturday, so make sure you look out for the tips for the Breeders' Cup. But also, the Classic, I think Javier Castellano is going to win the Classic this time aboard Catholic Boy. Ran really well last time out when winning the Travers by four lengths, going at an absolute blistering pace early on. He's likely to be on the pace alongside Accelerate. Both of those two will probably fight out the finish, I think. It's going to be a thrilling race, and hopefully Catholic Boy comes out on top.
Okay, Paul Binfield. So Tom Collins has Catholic Boy and Accelerate fighting out the finish of the Breeders' Cup Classic. How do those two bet in the market?
Well, he's got two of the three market leaders in there.
That's typical Collins, that. He can't tip an outsider.
Well, listen, if the horse wins, Racing Post postcast listeners won't be complaining. 11-4 Accelerate, 5-1 McKinsey, 6 Catholic Boy, 13-2 Roaring Lion. What a season that horse has had. 7 West Coast, 9 Mendelssohn, and it's 10-1 the rest.
Okay, and any thoughts finally from you, Binners, on the Classic?
I agree with your man, Catholic Boy, for Jonathan Thomas. He's really improving at a rapid rate of knot. He won the Belmont Derby and the Travers Stakes, both over this trip, both top class races. And I think Roaring Lion will have his work cut out to tame him.
Okay, we'll move on to the Melbourne Cup now, a race that's obviously not going to happen just yet, but lots has been happening. With Withhold, he bled in the Geelong Cup. La Trobe's no longer going to run. Giretto is also in doubt. But then we've also got the likes of Yucatan, who won the Herbert Power so impressively in Magic Circle. Still looking like it's going to go the way of the Brits at this stage, Watsy. Do you agree with that sentiment? Are you going to be looking at anything else, or where's your money with? Who's your money with?
I think I'll probably stick with Cross Counter. It's a funny race, the Melbourne Cup, because it's over 2 miles, so you think you need to stay to win it, but you actually don't. It's better to have a horse that can excel over a mile and a half, mile and six, and can stretch their stamina out to be effective over the 2 mile trip. Cross Counter is very good at shorter distances, won over a mile and a half this season, was second in the Voltigeur, and that form's worked out reasonably well with Kew Gardens in third, who obviously came on and won the St Ledger. Godolphin have had a few close shaves in this event over the years. They've almost won it. It's only a matter of time, I think, before they do get one over the line. And like you said, all the power, not just this year, but for the last few years, has been with the European Raiders rather than the homegrown horses. I don't think there's hardly a homegrown horse in the race. You know, even if you do get an Aussie horse, it's probably one that they bought from Europe. So, it's a strange time for the race, but for the locals, I think. But for us, I think we've never had a better chance of winning it. And it's not just Cross Counter. We've got strength in depth too, but he would be top of my list.
Yeah, I think Cross Counter, he had a bit of an injury scare, didn't he? But by all means, he's on track to run in the race now. Tom Collins, any strong fancies on the Melbourne Cup? What do you make of all these horses dropping out and things like that? How do you think the race is going to play out?
No strong opinions at this reasonably early stage. I'm just interested to see Yucatan, to be honest. He looked a, well, just completely different horse last time when Caulfield, and he fairly hacked up, didn't he? Barely did a tad up in front and won by four lengths. Interesting, he's stepping up massively in trips 2 miles, but O'Brien knows what he's doing, and I'll just be interested to see how close he goes.
Yeah, Binners, how did the market react, and a Melbourne Cup fancy from you?
Well, we make Yucatan 5-1 favourite, Maddie. And it's 8-1 Magic Circle, 10 Best Solution, 12 Cross Counter, Muntaha, Avilius, and it's 14-1. But I'm going to go with Nick Watt's selection, Cross Counter. I was at the Gordon Stakes when he won that, and Charlie Appleby immediately not sort of nominated the Melbourne Cup. second to his stable companion in the Great Voltager, Old Persian. That one disappointed in the Sledge, but I don't think he stayed the mile and six. And Cross Counter goes there with a great chance of augmenting Charlie Appleby's relationship with Sheikh Mohammed, having won the English Derby with Massar earlier in the season.
Thanks very much, Binners. Now moving on to a new feature of the postcast, we're going to do a This Will Not Be Beaten for the midweek racing, Steve Palmer style.
This will not be beaten.
Any excuse to play that clip? Watsy, who's your selection?
Well, I wouldn't mind a few of Palmer's millions at the moment, the way he's banging in those yeah. golf winners, so I'll have to start following him. But I've got one at Sedgefield on Thursday. I think he runs in the 225s, horse trained by Chris Grant, called Cosby. Trevor Hemmings owned, showed quite decent form in bumpers and hurdle, had one hurdle race last season. It's quite a moderate contest. I think he can get off the mark. But just one quickly for viewers to look out for. I think Did They Leave You Out Otto is due to make his...
How do you pronounce that name? Isn't it Did They Leave You Out Too?
It could be. All right. Nick Gifford's horse, the good bump horse from last season. He's down to run at Fakenham on Wednesday. I imagine if he does go, he'll be a very, very short price. But I'd advise readers to get on at the 25-1 for the Supreme Novices, because I think he's a really, really good horse. I think he was a very good bumper horse, compromised by the ground when he was beaten at the festival in March, and he'll go a long way. That's a really good one for Nick Gifford. He could put him back in the limelight.
Yeah, two tips for the price of one there from Watsy, and you can comment or let us know how you pronounce the name of that horse, because I am none the wiser. Tom Collins, who's your midweek nap?
Yeah, I'm going to give you two tips for the price of one, and same as Watsy. First of all, Nottingham, Eve Johnson Horton's Garrison Commander, who goes in the second division of the Golden Horn Maiden. Obviously, he won the race back in 2014. Garrison Commander ran really well on debut, went third at Salisbury behind the Useful Flashcard, and he looks a very good horse for Johnson Horton for next season. Also on Friday in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, Chad Brown's Newspaper of Record, I think the race goes off 8 o'clock. She looks a very exciting prospect, won both of her starts by 6 and 6.5 lengths. Chad Brown's one of the best trainers in America, and she looks a very confident selection for me on Friday.
Okay, some nice selections there. And Binners, finally, a nap to end on.
Yeah, I'll leave Nick Watts with his tweed. I'll be wearing my TK Max suit to Newmarket on Friday. Michael Bell's Lady Aria in the listed Bosra Sham Stakes at 140. This was an easy winner of a Haydock Maiden last time. Second in a group through the Dick Poole Fillies listed group three race before that. The winner let the form down in the Rockpool Stakes, a Roger Varian animal, but was very edgy beforehand, and I'll stick with Lady Aria.
Okay, some really good selections there for midweek. Make sure you keep your eye on those. If you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Don't forget to listen to our weekly golf postcast every Wednesday and our football shows on Thursday. Bruce and the team will be back on Friday to look ahead to an action-packed weekend of jumps racing and a preview to the Melbourne Cup as well. A very detailed preview that will be, I'm sure. Thanks for joining us and we'll see you soon.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.